So, this body. But we are attached to this body, that's a problem. We love this body.
It's been doing me great favors so far.
What?
It's been helping me a lot so far, so I'm grateful.
Yeah, I mean, if we use it, you know, for the right purpose, you know, then of course it is very helpful. But most of the people, you know, are just looking for fun, yeah? Or other people, you know, are just looking to make their living. And what do the people, you know, in Germany do? Yeah? Or in other countries? Yeah? They work and work and work for what? For this body. Yeah? How much fun do we have? Yeah? Think about it. Yeah? How much fun does this body give us? It gives us always sorrows. Yeah? It wants to be fed. Yeah? Yeah? It wants to put to rest. It wants to drink something, yeah? And then it has to work for the food, yeah? I mean, it's tiring, yeah? In the first 15 or 16 years, we have to to train it to be able to perform these tasks, yeah? The first 16 years, you know, our parents are looking after us, hopefully, yeah? Some kids, you know, are just thrown out, you know? And raised in foster homes. Yeah? But that is what the people in the world do, looking after their body. Yeah? Yeah? And in the end, the body dies, you know, and in the next life they have to look after the next body. And when does it end? Yeah? Using the body for the right means, yes, yeah? Especially after hearing the teachings of the Lord Buddha, finding the way out of the hamster wheel. That is the whole purpose of this monastery, or this is the whole purpose of the teaching of the Lord Buddha as taught here in this country. Yeah, not meditation, huh? Taught in the West. Happy 5 days, you know, and then you come out and you go back into the, you know, into the mess, into the hell realm, yeah? No, we want to find a way to cut down on the kilesas who constantly keep us in this prison. First in the prison of the, you know, of this body, and then in the prison, you know, of this universe, you know, avicca, of the delusion. Deluded, you know. What is it, you know? What is it that is I? What is it that, yeah, I am? Yeah? Who are you? Who were you, you know, 5 years ago? What was your thoughts? What were your ideas? Huh? 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Huh? Is it the same? So the I is constantly changing, of course. Like the whole world is constantly changing. Yeah? So what is there? What is fixed? No? Have you ever thought about that? Yeah? Who is this I that, you know, we think, you know, I am, you know, I'm like this, I'm like that, yeah? Who are you? You're a combination of character traits, yeah? Things that you, you know, things that you learn, things how you programmed yourself. But even that, you know, constantly changes. Yeah? Once we see some of our actions are not really getting us positive results, yeah, then we change these. Yeah? So we change. Yeah? People who have been very stingy, you know, suddenly become, you know, see, you know, that it's not a good way, you know, to live. You know, they become very generous. Yeah, or other people who are very rich, you know. Because of their generosity, you know, suddenly become very stingy. Things are changing. Yeah? We see it, you know. Yeah? And we have this. I'm not sure, you know, if if this expression exists also in English. The oppressed of today is the oppressor of tomorrow. Yeah? In German we certainly have it. Der Unterdrückte von heute ist der Unterdrücker von morgen. Yeah? And we see that on the world stage. Yeah? So, things are changing. Yeah? We are changing. We are constantly changing. Our body is changing. Our thoughts are changing. Our feelings are changing. Yeah? Our memories are changing. So what is it that is, yeah, that we constantly say, that's me, that's mine, that belongs to me? What is that? Yeah? When we think about the Lord Buddha, you know, what did he say? The five khandhas, yeah, the five groups. Yeah? And this is the body. Yeah? This is feeling. Yeah? This is thoughts and association, our memory and association. Thoughts and consciousness. Consciousness is coming and going. Thoughts are coming and going. Most of the thoughts that you have, you didn't even invite them. You didn't want to think them. They just come on itself. Yeah? Come by themselves. And this talking, Advana doesn't really help, huh? Dimitri, I told you quite often. Yeah? I mean, I see you, you know. Yeah? The whole group talking about what? Huh? And then you go into meditation and this conversation is going on into your head for at least 2 hours until you can banish it, you know, and then go back to your meditation. Yeah? So it is the same thing, you know. We roll up a stone, you know, that we want to be at the top of the hill. Yeah, in the middle we stop and let it roll down, and then next day we have to roll it up again. Huh? And we don't get any further. Yeah? Conversation normally doesn't help. Yeah, if you have questions, you can ask me. Yeah, but you know, talking about this, talking about that, you know, doesn't really help. Yeah. But coming back, you know, to the anicca, to all these five groups, you know, that we think it is me, it's mine, it's myself, yeah? They're constantly changing. Our ideas are changing. Our memory is changing. Our thoughts are changing. And the things, and we haven't invited them. Do you invite, you know, a feeling of depression? Huh? You don't want it. Do you invite a feeling of pain? You don't want it. It comes and it goes. Yeah? So whatever appears, it's just like clouds, you know. They appear, and sometimes white clouds, sometimes no clouds, sometimes black clouds. Yeah, they come and then they go. They come and they go. Yeah? But you don't think, you know, that these clouds are me or mine or myself. The thoughts come and the thoughts go. Yeah. Sometimes we invoke thoughts. Huh? That's okay. Yeah. We can use the five khandhas. That's why I call the five khandhas being a toolbox. Yeah, it's a toolbox. Yeah, governed by two powers. Yeah, one is the power of light or the power of Dhamma, and one is the power of the darkness. Yeah, and that is called avijja. Yeah, I mean Goethe said it. You know, Goethe said it one time. You know, I think it was in Faust. Yeah, two rulers are inhabiting my chest. Huh? The light and the darkness. Yeah? And there's a constant struggle between the light and the darkness. So if the darkness, if avijja or if the kilesas have the handover of the five khandhas, then they do whatever they please with it. Yeah? But we don't notice the changes. Yeah? We don't notice, you know, who is in control. Yeah? Yeah? When you say yourself, you know, okay, I'm going to sit now for 2 hours in meditation or do chankram for 2 hours, yeah, at the first moment you are in control. And then the kilesas constantly poke at you. Ah, now I'm tired, now it is boring, now it is this, now it is that. Ah, it's too cold, now it's too hot, you know. And then, you know, I mean, this is the other power that constantly tries, you know, to disrupt, yeah. Our power, you know, of the Dhamma. Lungta Mahabua called it, you know, two. Yeah? There's one throne, Yeah, the throne, you know, who decides what to do with the five khandhas, yeah. There's one throne and two people are sitting on it, yeah. Everybody tries to gain the complete control of the throne. And one is the avijja and one is the, you know, one is the dhamma, yeah. There's a constant struggle, yeah. And we see it in our meditation. Ah, it's so tiring, ah. Today doesn't work, you know. I mean, maybe tomorrow, maybe I get a real good rest, you know, and then sleep, you know, and tomorrow will be better. Yeah? Who's telling you all these things? And you believe it because it comes into your head, into your brain, yeah? But who sees that? Who knows there is a thought? That's the principle of anatta, yeah? Whatever I can see, whatever I can experience, cannot be me, it cannot be mine, it cannot be myself. Huh? And that is a very powerful principle if we put it to work. Yeah, I mean, instead of saying, I'm in pain, they say, there is pain. Then I can observe it. There's pain, yeah. We can ask the pain, do you know your pain? I mean, who gives the label onto what is pain and what is pleasure? Yeah, we give the labels. Yeah, through our trillions and not trillions of lives. You know, I mean, we have all these labels ready. You know, this is pleasurable, this is not pleasurable. But when we look at society, overall, you know, some people find something pleasurable. Yeah? While others find the same thing, you know, I mean, you know, unpleasurable. Huh? How can that happen? Huh? So there is no standard, yeah? There is no standard for this, yeah? So we are the ones who put the labels on it. And during meditation or during practice of investigation, we remove these labels and suddenly we are free of these things, yeah? And especially we are free of the reactions to these labels, yeah? When we say pain, we want to get rid of it, yeah? Now we look at pain and say, okay, that is pain, that is how it feels like, where is it actually located? Where is it coming from? Huh? To get free of these labels, to get free of these associations, yeah? It's a part of the memory function. It comes instantly, and nearly instantly. Huh? I mean, if you have enough sati, we can see it, how it forms. Yeah? There's consciousness, you know, and there's something coming into our senses, you know. And that moment, you know, something comes in our senses. Yeah, I mean, memory and association is trying to find the label for it. And depending on what label it is, you know, I mean, we react. We like it or dislike it or we are neutral. I mean, if you have sati, you can see all these things working, yeah? You can see how the mind is working, yeah? It's just like, you know, just like a good programmer knows how the computer works, yeah? He knows, you know, what is coming in, what is going out, huh? Actually, it's not so different from what us, yeah? I mean, zero and ones coming in, you know, and zero and ones going out, yeah? So where is the big deal? But we make a big deal because we assign certain values to a combination of zero and ones. Yeah? So we assign a certain value. Yeah, we assign a certain value to this kind of feeling or that kind of feeling, to this thought or this memory or that memory, and that's how we, you know, that's how we live. Yeah, and that's how we are captured by it. We are captured by our own association. And during our life, we can change these associations, you know, some things, you know. When we were kids, you know, we didn't like this, you know, and when we are adults, we certainly like it, you know. I mean, we are more comfortable with it, yeah. Or we like certain things as kids, and as adults, we find it absolutely ridiculous. How come? Nobody teaches us. It's our own programming, yeah. And meditation and investigation is unprogramming ourselves, is freeing ourselves from these associations, from these labels. Yeah? What is pain? So let's investigate pain. What is thought? You know, let's investigate thought. What is the body? Let's investigate this body. Yeah? What does the body give us? Yeah? What kind of pleasure does the body give us? Yeah? In German, there's a saying, you know, yeah? We run with the head against the wall because it's so nice when the pain goes away. Huh? Kennst du das? Yeah? That's exactly it. Huh? The difference between pain and the loss of pain. Hunger and the loss of hunger. That's why we think, you know, it's so pleasurable when we eat, yeah? But when we are full, we don't want to eat. Because if we continue eating, you know, we throw up. And then it becomes unpleasurable, yeah? Everything exceeding its value, you know, I mean, becomes unpleasurable or pleasurable, yeah? So, when you think about, you know, I mean, I've been to Thailand, what was it, 87 or something like that, that's a long time. Yeah? I mean, we went to the beaches, of course we loved it, you know, but, yeah, I mean, later on reflecting about it, we heat ourselves up until we can't stand the heat, then we go into the cold water until we can't stand the cold water anymore, and then we go and, you know, lie on the beach, you know, and heat ourselves up, and then cool ourselves down, heat ourselves up, and cool ourselves down. And then in the evening we say, ah, that was the most pleasurable day. It's these changes from very unpleasurable to pleasurable, to removing, to removing the pain. Then I say to the people, you know, just put a bucket of hot coal, you know, and a bucket of ice water, and then just put your hand in. It's the same thing. It's the same thing with sex. I mean, we heat ourselves up, and you know, until we relieve ourselves, you know, and then we think it's pleasurable. We don't see the pain in heating ourselves up. Yeah? And we don't see, you know, I mean, the exhaustion that comes from it. Yeah? But we put so much value on it, so much, yeah. But we don't see, you know, we don't see the basic working of it. Yeah? So, use anatta, yeah. See, you know, when the thought is coming, okay, there's a thought, yeah. What has it to do with me? Who is the one who sees it? Who is the one who knows it? Yeah? Ever try to ask a thought, you know, do you know your thought? What does he answer? Nothing. Because he's a phenomena. Huh? Like all these things, you know, feelings are phenomena. They arise and cease and arise and cease. Huh? Even the body is a phenomena. It's a very long phenomena, but you know, it still is a phenomena. Huh? It grows, you know, and then it gets older and older and older until it disappears, yeah? But we love it. Yeah? We love this body just like we love our car, you know? Nice, you know? I mean, you get into the car and you drive anywhere where you want, yeah? Yeah? I mean, you get into the body and you can go and walk everywhere where you want, yeah? Huh? Or you can do all sorts of things, yeah? I mean, it's a fantastic machine, yeah? Nobody says it's not, you know, it's, yeah? No, it's a fantastic machine. Yeah? And with every kind of fantastic machine, yeah, just nowadays the people, you know, are completely taken in by their smartphone. They can't let go of their smartphones anymore. Yeah? So is the body, you know, I mean, it can be absolutely creative, but it can be absolutely destructive. We can do whatever we want, yeah? I mean, we can build high rises, you know, we can take land from the sea, you know, and, you know, whatever we want, yeah? Create art, you know, fantastic art, yeah? When you next time go to the Louvre, you know, I mean, you see, it's amazing, yeah? The music that we created, you know, amazing, yeah? It is very creative, you know, but we are stuck in this world and we believe that's it, yeah. In the next life, you know, I mean, we have to do the same thing, yeah. We have to learn and learn and learn, train it, you know, yeah. And the residue from our previous lives, you know, comes on, yeah. It's like, you know, I mean, you have the old computer, yeah. I mean, it is, you know, it's not functioning anymore, so you take the hard disk out, you know, and put it in a new computer, and the programs are still the same. And that's it, yeah? When we go from one life to the next, you know, the programs are still the same. Unless we change them, yeah? Just like with a computer, we see this program doesn't interest me, or this game doesn't, you know, I mean, doesn't hold me anymore. So we erase this game and put on a new game. Yeah, that's all. Yeah? But where's the value in it? Yeah? We do have to maintain this body. We do have to work for this body, and that is at least, you know, I mean, in the Western world, at least 8 hours a day or 9 hours a day. Yeah. Of our precious time, we go in the morning, we are fresh, you know, in the evening we come back, we are like slightly exhausted, we eat something, you know, and watch a telly, or nowadays watch our smartphone and then go to bed. Where's the fun in it? Ask yourself, yeah? I mean, you sit here, you know, you hear this thing, you know, ask yourself, where's the fun? What kind of fun does this body give us, yeah? The fun arises in our dinner, in our feelings, you know, in our seeing, in our hearing, and things like that, yeah? But it doesn't arise in the body. Yeah? It arises in the senses of the body, yeah? But the senses of the body, you know, if you go into the higher realms or lower realms, don't disappear. Yeah? Some of them disappear, others don't disappear. Yeah? When you go to hell, the feeling of pain is still there, feelings are still there, yeah? You have a fine body, you know, but, you know, I mean, feeling and anger, you know, and greed, you know, it's still the same thing, yeah? It's still there, yeah? Even also in heaven, you know, it's still there, yeah? Body gives us some things, you know, that we don't have in other worlds, yeah? But, you know, I mean, it's not that we don't have it in other realms. There are 30 realms of existence, yeah? 25 are in the heavenly realms, you know, and 5 are, you know, in human, animal, and ghost, and demon, and hell realm. Yeah. So, it doesn't change, you know, we're going up, you know, we're going up the roller coaster. Yeah, sometimes I also call it roller coaster. It's a nice picture. Going up slowly, 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 can't wait, you know, yeah, can't wait, you know, to go up, yeah. And then we go down the roller coaster, huh? And that seems to be a lot of fun for us, you know, we cry out, yeah? Going up into the heavenly world is a very, very long and tedious way, yeah? Going down to hell is very instant, yeah? Very fast, yeah? And we do, you know, when we come here in this world, you know, I mean, we have good deeds, you know, and we have good characteristics and bad characteristics. We have evil, you know, in ourselves, you know, and we have goodness in ourselves, yeah? Some people have more evil and some people have more goodness, you know, it's a distribution, yeah? So nobody, you know, nobody is perfect, yeah? So our task is, you know, to get rid of, you know, the evil in our mind, you know, and train to be good. And only once we train, you know, once we train to be good, yeah, then we can get rid of the goodness, yeah? And then we don't get reborn anymore, yeah. If we overcome evil and good, you know, I mean, we are not born again. We stay there in eternity, yeah. That's what is called Nibbana, yeah. Extinction, yeah. Whatever people, you know, whatever the Lord Buddha, he described it in quite a few words, yeah. The fire is extinguished, yeah? The fire of desire, because desire is that what, you know, makes us, you know, restless, yeah? Restlessness. What is restlessness? Have you ever investigated restlessness? What is it? It's a fire that burns in us, you know, that doesn't have yet, yeah, yet an outlet where it goes out. One of the asavas, yeah? One of the outflows, yeah? But the moment we find an outflow, yeah, I need to do this, you know, then the restlessness, you know, the energy goes out into this asava, yeah. If it doesn't find one, you know, we don't know what to do, you know, I mean, it's burning in us, yeah. And we have to overcome this restlessness, the desire to be, the desire not to be, the desire to become or not to become, the want, the desire to want, you know, something or not to want something, yeah, that is the desire that is burning in us. And it just looks for an outlet, yeah, and that depending on us, you know, what our outlets are, you know, I mean, that's where most of the energy goes, yeah. Instead of investigating, the next time you feel restless, investigate. What is restlessness? How does it feel? It's very uncomfortable. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. It's a burning, it's burning inside, you know, it wants to go out, it's a fire, you know, it burns us up, yeah? But the moment we really start to investigate, it suddenly becomes a concentration. And then it becomes something, like before I said, you know, it becomes something very comfortable. Because the concentration is, you know, concentrated energy that becomes very comfortable, yeah? So the desire, the burning desire is gone, you know, and becomes something that is very comfortable, yeah? Peaceful, stillness, or whatever, yeah? Or joy, yeah? Whatever it is, yeah? This is the trick you have to understand. I mean, we started, you know, most of us, you know, I mean, coming from the West, we started a lot, you know, we went to school, you know, for 12, 13 years or 10 years, you know, I mean, and then went to, some of us went to university, you know, learned so much, you know? It's all useless. What we learned, you know, I mean, it doesn't help us, you know. It helps us in the world, you know, to make a living, yes, that's all, yeah. But most of it, you know, I mean, it's, in German we say it's for the cat, for the cat. Useless, yeah. I mean, what you learned in school, you know, I mean, how useful is it in your daily life? Does it give you a handle on your desire, on your burning desire? No. What do you want? Yeah. Why do you want it? Yeah. And what is the result of our doing? That is the thing that we should look for. Yeah. If I want something, you know, why do I? What came before? Yeah. What do I want? You know, if I get it, what is the result of it? Yeah. We never think about it. Yeah. We never think about in cause and effect. Yeah. We have to look at the cause, you know, and we have to look at the effect, yeah, to see and understand what is going on. Huh? To dismantle this computer into bits and pieces, to see a 0 and 1, yeah? I mean, you have a nice movie on your computer screen or on your smartphone, yeah? And, you know, you should have a switch where you can switch, you know, the information back to 0 and 1. How long would you watch it? 0 and 1s, you know, going around your screen. Nobody. But as long as it displayed, you know, as some sort of graphic, you know, or some sort of text, you know, I mean, we are mesmerized by it, yeah? But actually what is happening inside the machine is 0 and 1. Nothing else. I studied computer science. No, computer engineering, actually. So, I know what is going on in a computer, and it is not very different from what is going on in our head, yeah? We see something, we associate it with something, you know, and then we fall for it. Huh? Just like people fall for it, you know, whatever, yeah. Nowadays they fall for their smartphones, you know, whatever it is, yeah. And believe the AI, yeah. Where does the AI get the information from? I mean, you are old enough, you know, when you went to university. I mean, we went to the library, when we started, you know, we went to the library, yeah? We know this person, you know, wrote this kind of book, so we took this book, you read a few pages, took some notes, you know, and then, you know, went to another book, you know, took, yeah? But at least we knew where the information is coming from. Is it reliable or not reliable? Now you ask AI, you don't know where the information is coming from. You don't know how reliable it is. Huh? And I tested it out quite a few times. You know, you have to ask at least 10 or 15 times, you know, before you get get to know, you know. And the first statement is completely wrong once you dig down a little bit deeper. Huh? But what about this? Yeah. And then what about that? And so on, yeah. Until, you know, you get a complete different, you know, conclusion to what it first gives you. But most people, you know, go for the first. So they are deluded, you know, they are even more and more and more and deluded, yeah. And that's what, you know, that's what our government loves, yeah. The more deluded people, the more easy believe, you know, I mean, the more easy they can control them, yeah. Just put out something, you know, yeah. You remember COVID? Yeah. Now it comes out, it was just a flu. Yeah. And what did they say? How did they punish us if we didn't put on a mask or didn't take the injections? Yeah. And now it comes out that the injections, you know, are more lethal than, you know, the COVID itself. Yeah. But we believed it. Yeah. Because we didn't inform ourselves. I don't trust, yeah. Huh? I mean, that was a nice thing, you know. I mean, I was born in the 50s, so the teachers, you know, I mean, the teachers in Germany, you know, were very aware of what happened during the World War II or to the Nazi regime. So they taught us, you know, to be very critical of what is coming, yeah. So some of the teachers said, you know, you believe what I say? And the students, of course, said, yes. Don't believe what I say, huh? I can be wrong. Show me that I'm wrong. Yeah? I mean, that forms, you know, that forms a little bit. So, I mean, believing everything, you know, other people say, you know, I mean, it's certainly a downfall. And we have to do the same thing, yeah? With the kilesas that constantly tell us, this is like this, this is like this, this, I want this, I don't want, yeah? Be critical of them, yeah? Don't trust them, yeah? Because they are only there, you know, to deceive you. Deceive you in believing this, oh, I am, yeah? Who I am? I've never found anything that who I am, yeah? Except, you know, for when I go into Apana Samadhi, this stillness or this knowingness that is there. Yeah? That's what I really am. The knowingness of the phenomena that are around me without associating to these phenomena. Yeah? The distance, to see. Okay, yeah. Like, you know, you go to a movie and you know, this is a movie, it's not real. But remember when you went to an interesting movie, how it affects you? Yeah? You cry, you laugh, you know, and things like that, yeah? It's the same thing. But now it is in front of our eyes, yeah? And that's why we believe it's real. Yeah? Get down to it, you know? Investigate these things, yeah? Don't get fooled by the kilesas who constantly tell us this or tell us that, yeah? Put a check mark on them. Huh? Why should I do this? Huh? Why should I go to sleep? Huh? Because you tell me I'm tired? Okay, then go to sleep and I walk. Yeah? I mean, it's amazing, you know. I mean, they will you know, protest for a few times, you know, but if you continue walking, you know, I mean, they will give up. Yeah? That is what they do. In the end, if we are stronger than the kilesas, they will give up. Yeah? And when they give up, we feel peace. Yeah? And joy. So, I guess, you know, I've done... I gave a little bit, you know, of encouragement, hopefully, you know, for you to practice even harder. Yeah? If you have any questions, you know, can ask them. I won't be here for, you know, until the end of the week, yeah. I mean, I leave on Tuesday, yeah. Thursday, I mean, Wednesday, and come back on Sunday evening, probably. So, I mean, if you have any questions, you know, about your practice, you know, then go ahead and ask them, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, when I looked to you first time, I looked like you say something clever in Thai language. I don't know what, but it looked clever. And I looked else, you have fun, you have enjoying with talking with another people. And for me it was very cool to take this balance when you are clever in your idea, in your mind, and in this moment you are else little bit joking, a little bit having fun, but in correct type. And for me, usually, I have just mind. So, emotion like a little bit blocked, and I must do this, I should do this, I will do this, but usually forget about feeling. And interesting how to find the feeling inside of me first, and how to make balance to be clever, to do what you should, and have fun, have life inside of the moment.
I mean, you have to evaluate, yeah? I mean, if you do something, you know, I mean, if you don't know, you know what you expect from doing this, yeah? And then check it out, yeah? Once you've done it, yeah? I mean, there's nothing wrong, you know? I mean, if you're okay, if you're within the five precepts and there's nothing wrong with it, then check the result. That's how you know, yeah? I mean, do you feel comfortable with doing it? Check it, yeah? And is the result comfortable for you or wholesome for you? Check it. And then you know what is good and what is not good. Because there is no wholesomeness for every person. It's different. Yeah? And it also changes. Yeah? But we also always have to be within the five precepts. Yeah? Dmitry, you still speak Russian, no? Yeah. So if you don't get the real thing across, you know, you can ask him to translate it.
Okay. I think I understand most of part.
Okay. Yeah, we used to have a Ukrainian monk here, you know, but he's gone a long time ago. Yeah. So he translated all the Russian. And then we had a Russian lady. I hope more Russians are coming, yeah?
I've seen in the videos there are plenty from what I watched on YouTube.
What?
Yeah, I was surprised the whole time I've been here there haven't been any Russians, because in the videos I've seen like plenty of visitors.
Yeah? Yeah, I mean, they used to be, you know, they come and they go, you know, just like most of the people, you know, come and go, yeah. Americans come and go, you know, Europeans come and go, yeah. I mean, there used to be a lot of Germans, you know, and now there's hardly anybody. Yeah. So, anicca, impermanent. Yeah. Okay, so you understand?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Any more questions?
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah.
Maybe it's two questions in one. Some of the difficulties I face in life is about making choices, and the other one is procrastination. About making choices, I realized not long ago by listening to a podcast that my problem is there is a syndrome called fear of a better option. And in a lot of situations, I mean, in a lot of cases, I'm in this situation, and I just get paralyzed. I can't make a choice because I fear if I make this choice, there might be a better option later on that will present itself, and then I miss it. And so that creates a lot of difficulties. It can be for like very simple things like buying a chocolate bar in a supermarket where there are 100 different types of chocolates, and then I can't do it. Or it can be deciding which city I want to live in. So like a different range of situations. But so this is the first thing, and the other thing is procrastination. I tend to procrastinate a lot in my work. I can't get started usually before 6 p.m. because my mind starts working like 2 or 3 times faster from this time. But that creates a lot of difficulties, a lot of dukkha, because like before I came here, for 1 month I slept like 3 to 4 hours a night because I had to catch up what I didn't do before. And so my question is, I'd like to understand from a Buddhist point of view how to analyze this. In a Buddhist logic, what is going on and how to investigate it? So I don't know if you can help with this.
Can you give me a definition of procrastination?
Procrastination is I'm waiting.
Wasting time.
I'm waiting, like I'm creating in a stress.
Or putting it off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I should start something, and I'm delaying it until there is enough stress accumulated, and then I have no other choice than to do it. So
that's not a wholesome way to do it. So the first thing is, what are you afraid of? You ask yourself, in the situation, what are you afraid of? And then look into the fear. I mean, we think we make one choice, you know, and the whole life, you know, ends. No. Every moment we have a choice. Yeah? And if we ask actually our heart, yeah, I mean, the real thing is, you know, the good thing is, you know, you go into meditation and ask what the heart wants, you know, and it makes always the right choice, yeah? It might be a difficult choice, but you will see it will be wholesome in the end. Because the heart knows that. I mean, I remember, you know, I mean, when I made the choice to go into homelessness, eh? Give up my job. I had a good job, yeah? I was paid quite well, you know, I could travel through the whole world, yeah? And then suddenly my heart says no. Yeah? You have to go, and you have to go into homelessness, huh? And then I said, oh wow, you know, what am I going to do? I said, okay, it will come up, yeah? And then I went the step, you know, and I was never more happy than before. So I always give the advice, you know, to ask your heart, what am I really wanting, yeah? And to push things, you know, into future, you know, I mean, yeah? What is it, you know, why can't I now make a decision now? I try it out, I examine it, you know, what the result of my choice is, yeah? And if I see it's wholesome, then it's fine. If I see it's not wholesome, the next time I don't make this choice. That is a wholesome way to do it, yeah?
I've tried that, but my heart just seems to not know.
Yeah. Because you're not deep enough, you know, what your heart wants, yeah? I mean, you have to get really deep into meditation, yeah? So, I mean, I had the fortune, you know, to be able, you know, to get into samadhi very easily, yeah? And that's, you know, the moment you get into samadhi and you put the question in front of, you know, before you get into samadhi, I mean, the answer comes out, yeah? Not always, but, you know, most of the time. And, you know, I mean, sometimes the answer is very painful, yeah? We have to go through a lot of pain, yeah? But then after this pain, you know, I mean, we're relieved of all these things that oppress us, yeah? So, do meditation and then ask the right, yeah? Try to get the mind in. Don't think your way out, you know, because that always leads, you know, to doubt. Is it the right decision? Is it not the right decision? Is this the right? And you know that, you know, that is even worse, you know, than making a decision. Mm. Yeah? To doubting, yeah? Okay, I go with this decision, I check it out, you know, and see what is the result with it, you know, and the next time I make a different decision. We have so many options every moment, yeah? You go, where do you live in Lyon? Yeah? I mean, Lyon is not a small city, yeah? You can choose, you know, to go the main path, you can choose to go, you know, left, but if you choose to go left, you can also choose to go right, and you can choose to go back on the main path. So where's the problem? Yes, if you go to the smaller roads, you will face different kind of karma. You know, if you go back to the main road, you will face another different kind of karma. Yeah? So. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Good. So, any other question? Berlin? I heard, you know, in Berlin, a very cold and very much snow, you know, and even the power went out for 5 days. Boy. I mean, one of the terrorist groups, you know, called Vulcan Group, you know, I mean, exploded one of the power generators, yeah, the main power line, and, you know, 50,000 households were in dark for 5 days. But these kind of terrorists we love, yeah. Who destroy our North Stream, you know. Very good, you know. Anyway, I won't go back to Germany. Certainly not, yeah. Unless the Nazi regime is gone, yeah. Then I go back. What?
I'm just thinking about the question about
yeah.
Voices, yeah?
Yeah.
Because I talk about it quite a bit with my other daughter.
Yeah.
And you always undecided to do this or that or the other, right? And I think, well, from my look at that, and it's because we have so much greed, we want everything we want.
Yeah.
And we were so fear of losing out.
Mm.
Is it a lot of greed because of that? And I think, of course, meditation helps you.
Yeah, meditation, of course, helps you, yeah. I mean, it makes the mind much clearer, you know, what we want, you know, and why we want it, you know. That this makes it much clearer, yeah. I mean, we don't want to lose out, you know. I mean, we don't, yeah.
So was I right to say this is because we have so much greed?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, or so much anger. I mean, it can be greed or it can be anger, you know. I mean, you do lots of things, you know, because of anger. You're getting angry with this or getting angry with that. Yeah, yeah, I mean, that is the right choice, you know. Go down in your heart, you know, and see. Yeah, I mean, yes, I lost my job, you know. I lost the pension, you know. Yeah? So what? I have a much better life now. I retired with 31.
I think you only know afterwards that thing. This is why it makes choices difficult. Because if you when you make this choice,
you don't know.
If you could project yourself 20 years later,
yeah, that is.
And then you hear yourself saying, "Well, I have a much better life now." Then the choice is easy. But the problem when you make the choice is that you don't.
I didn't know.
Yeah, this is difficult.
I didn't know, but you know, I knew I had something. You know, that gave me, yeah, the samadhi, sitting in samadhi, that gave me the assurance it cannot be that bad. Yeah. So you have to have this, yeah? Yeah. You have to have the basis, you know, before you can make extreme choices, yeah? But you will always lose out. Even if you stay on the same path, yeah? If you don't make any choice, you know, if you don't change the path, yeah? I mean, how do you know it's going good? Huh? Tomorrow they tell you you're jobless, yeah? I mean, you're fired from your position, yeah? But if you have made, you know, a week ago, the choice to go to another company would have been a better choice, no? We never know. We never know what is going to happen tomorrow, yeah? But the one thing that we can be assured of is our karma. The karma will come back to us in what kind of form or for whatsoever, yeah? If we have good karma, you know, it will come back to us. If we have bad karma, you know, we cannot avoid it, yeah? Yeah? So making choices is actually not difficult. We just test it out, yeah? I mean, when we are kids, you know, we test out everything. We ride down, you know, we ride down with our bikes, you know, down the hill, you know, and smash the bike, you know, okay, we get up, you know, and go home, you know, and fix the bike. So, but as an adult, we wouldn't do that. You know, think about the consequences of riding down that hill, you know, with our bike, you know, over all these stones and so, oh, I could, you know, I could break my leg, I could break my arm. As a kid, we don't do that. We just do it, we test it out, huh? Isn't it interesting? The older we get, the more afraid we are. Okay? Yeah, tell your sister, you know, I mean, she will lose out anyway, or she will win anyway. Daughter. Canada. She's Canada. Yeah, okay.
She's in England at the moment.
In England. That is not the best place to be. Germany, England, France, you know, they all wouldn't want to start a war with Russia, you know, I mean, that's not the place.
I just wanted to ask, I think about choices else, and we usually think about future, how it will be better for future,
yeah. How
to do for future, and most of us take a job to have, most of us do not what they like, not what they feel, and do what they need for have a good future.
Yeah.
And how I look, do I understand right that Buddhism idea say more focus in moment and not so much think about future.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes. Then
it will not be a problem if you not will think about
no,
future.
There's no problem. Because every moment you're in the present moment, you are aware of what is going on, yeah? And if you have sati, you never make wrong decisions. If you think about something, you know, I mean, think about your plant, you know, when did they ever work out? They normally don't work out, yeah? Sometimes they do, you know, but most of the time they don't work out. If you're in the present moment, yeah, if you don't have thoughts about the future, you know, if you're not worried, if you're not afraid of anything, you know what to do next. And maybe you know there's nothing to do right now, we just wait for something to come. But for people, you know, I mean, for people who still have work to do, you know, I mean, yes, of course, you have to think a little bit about the future, yeah? But don't worry too much, you know, I mean, yeah? Just like I told him, ask the heart what it wants, yeah? What it sees, you know, maybe it sees something, you know, maybe it sees something, yeah? And then you go this way, yeah? If it is painful or not, yeah? Yeah, I mean, I don't say, you know, that people shouldn't think about the future if they still live in the world, you know. Of course, they do have to. Yeah? Yeah? But depend less about on these kind of thoughts and stay more, you know, with what is happening right now, with whatever you feel comfortable. Yeah. And fear is something that you really have to fight. Yeah. You have to investigate. Yeah. I mean, don't be driven by fear. I mean, before I was talking about COVID, people were afraid to die, yeah? And that's how, yeah? I mean, that's how governments, you know, use, or dictators, you know, use the people to do things that are unwholesome for them. No? If you don't do this, you will die. And everybody, of course, is afraid of death, you know, so they put on their mask and they get 3 injections, you know? Yeah? And in the end, does it help? No. Fear is the ruler of the monarchs or the government, yeah? So, what is fear, you know? Get comfortable with fear, you know? And then it won't bother you, yeah? And then you can make real good decisions, yeah? If you make a decision out of fear, I mean, it's never a good decision. Confront the fear and know especially that the fear is a kilesa. I didn't know that in the beginning. Huh? I mean, nobody told me, you know, even when I was, you know, when I was in England, you know, in the monasteries, you know, or in the meditation, you know, nobody told me that fear was a kilesa. I mean, the first one who told me, you know, I mean, was Lungta Mahabor. Ah, if I would have known that, so much easier, yeah? You just know, you know, it's one of the kilesas, you know, who wants to drown you, you know, to do something that is unwholesome. Yeah? It's much easier to fight. Yeah? Okay? Yeah?
Just on that, like, there's always twists in Buddhism, 10 fetters,
yeah?
5 hindrances, so that there's no list, like, of kilesas. So anything can be a kilesa. Is there, like, how do I know if something is
There are 3, I mean, if you remember what I said about, you know, there's avijja, yeah, that's a mastermind, and the avijja has 3 armies, there are greed, hatred, and delusion, yeah, and these armies consist of soldiers, yeah, and the soldiers are the kilesas, yeah, I mean, in Buddhist terms, you know, they're called asava, outflows, yeah, they're not you, but they're in your heart, you know, just like I tried to explain, yeah? There are 2 masters sitting on the throne, trying to sit on the same throne, yeah?
But again, there are plural, but you can define, you know, it's anything is a kilesa as long as, you know, it fits certain characteristics.
Yeah, I mean, they're actually also good kilesas.
Okay.
Yeah? They're the kilesas who make you sit down and practice, yeah? They're also kilesas, yeah? Yeah? Because they're all determined by will, Yeah. If I want something, yeah, I mean, without the will, yeah, that is also a form of the kilesa, I wouldn't be able to transcend to Nibbana. Only in Nibbana, the will, yeah, or avijja, the power over all this, you know, disappears. So you use the kilesas against the other kilesas. I mean, just like, you know, you use two groups, you know. The left, you know, in the front, and the left, you know, fights the right, and the right fights the left, you know. Yeah.
I have a tricky one. How do you distinguish will and desire? Where does will stop and desire start?
I mean, without will there's no desire.
Without, yeah, okay. But will is important and desire is toxic, so how do you...
Desire can be not toxic. The desire to go to Nibbana is not toxic. I mean, it always depends on the direction the desire takes. Huh? Desire to have power over other people, that's toxic. Huh? Desire to control the world is toxic, yeah? But the desire to become free, yeah? Or even the desire to be generous, it's not toxic. To help other people, it's also a desire. Yeah? That's why it's so difficult, you know? It's so difficult. That's why I said, you know, I mean, classify what is wholesome for me and what is, you know, what is unwholesome. Yeah? So the desire that goes into the unwholesome, we let go. Yeah, and the desire that goes into a wholesome, we develop. Okay. So okay, then you know. No more questions. Then let's go. Yeah. How? What?
I have a lot.
You have a lot.
If you have a time.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, one. Okay. One, yeah. How long are you going to stay?
2:15 or 2:16 morning, I think.
What? Next month or this month?
This month.
Why?
No, okay. Maybe I come back. I
yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, what is one question?
Before food, we usually have a praying text, I have this food not for enjoyment.
Pleasure, not for fun, not for fattening, not for beautification, but only for the maintenance of the body. Yeah?
I remember in Russian, I know it's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah,
yeah, and I think about some disbalance in ideas, because Buddha say enjoy the moment, but praying text say not enjoy this food.
No, nobody says not enjoy the food.
We take it not for enjoying, not for fun.
Not for pleasure, not for fun. I don't eat for pleasure. That doesn't mean that the food cannot be pleasurable. But if you only, you know, eating for pleasure means you only pick out the food that is pleasurable.
То, что для удовлетворения, то, что ты... Какая твоя цель? Ты можешь удовлетворяться, но твоя цель не удовлетворение. То есть не то, что ты отталкиваешься от удовлетворения. То есть главное, чтобы тебе цель была не удовлетвориться. Конечно, если ты кушаешь и удовлетворяешься, не то, что тебе не тянет, конечно, не дал удовлетворение.
I mean, there is nothing you cannot change our experience of the tongue, you know, and the association that comes that something is nice tasting and something is not so nice tasting. Mm-hmm. You cannot change that. But you don't indulge, you know, in only pleasurable food or overeating because the food is pleasurable. That's what the meaning is, that is the reflection. And like I said, I think that the last time I said, you know, somebody, I think it was Elam, yeah? I mean, I said, you know, I mean, just get, you know, when you eat the food, you know, I mean, get the seven tastes that it's made of. Yeah? And then you see, I mean, then the desire reduces, you know? But the experience is still, you know, either pleasurable or not so pleasurable. get the seven tasted, get the salty, get the, you know, bitter, get the you know, the, yeah. And then there's no desire, you know, actually, because, I mean, it's all the mixture of the seven tasted. Huh? Okay? So, then let's end the session, yeah? Yeah, and then make the most of the time, you know? Yeah. There are not so many places, even here in Thailand, you know, where you have the freedom to practice. Used to be Bangkok, yeah. Used to be, yeah. Wonderful, you came in, you know, you came in, yeah. And, I mean, in the English monasteries where I was, you know, most of the time was working, yeah. You worked, you know, 3 hours in the morning, you worked 3 hours in the afternoon, and then you were tired, you know, and you couldn't even sit, yeah. Meditation center in Germany is the same thing, you know, I had to work, you know. And then I came to Bangkok. What do I do? Oh, I can sit 24 hours a day. Wow. Nobody disturbs me. That is the freedom. Yeah? That's the freedom it's giving. But of course, you have to have self-discipline. Yeah. Otherwise, you sleep 24 hours. Self-discipline is, you know, is required. Yeah. Okay. Good practice. Yeah.
It's my first Buddhist temple where I go for stay. Mm. And it's very unusual because I think it will be very disciplined. Like you said, you need to meditate without movement, you need to meditate with movement, after again, again, back, listen this, after continue, chik.
We need to control, you know, control the mind, not the body, not the movement.
Yeah.
That is most important.
But here I come, Mikhail, say, we have 2 points. Before breakfast, clean. Before lunch, clean.
Yeah.
And wake up better this time. And,
okay. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And the monks wonder if we can go 5 minutes later.
Yeah, I told Cooper Richard.
Okay.
I mean, I told him if he decides to go 5 minutes later, then he can do it. Yeah?
Yeah, it'll be almost dark.
Yeah. No, it's okay. It's fine with me. I mean, I asked him actually if, you know, when we came back, yeah? Because we went 5 minutes later in Singapore Church because it was too dark. No, it's fine. Go 5 minutes later.
I also have some doubt, I don't know. Because when we take in the kusala wholesome and unwholesome,
yeah,
and for what it really you can decide, because there is something, the knowing knows this is wholesome and unwholesome.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, this is knowing that is within your heart, yeah.
Mm.
And if there is not what is wholesome for you, might not be very wholesome for another person.
Yeah.
But what I said, the important thing is you have to stay within the precepts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that you can try out everything as long as you are within the precepts. Yeah. And then see what is wholesome to your mind and to your body, you know, and that is what you do.
Because the, I see it sometimes, still I do the bad thing,
yeah.
But there is knowing, I know doing a bad thing.
Yeah.
Then I ask question myself, who is going to take the result of this bad karma and the one
you.
Who is going to suffer?
You!
Then, but because
like we suffer now,
yeah,
yeah, because of the bad karma of our previous life, yeah?
Yeah, that's true, but then there is a choice.
Hmm.
Let's say my Sri Lanka teacher also told he had a lot of bad karma in physical ways because he was a warrior in the previous life. So, but he told when he did operation in backbone, then he get up like 3 days, after 3 days of operation from the backbone.
Yeah.
No one could get up after 3 days because, but he had strength, he don't suffer.
Yeah.
But he is still going through the bad karma of previous life,
yeah.
Even Ajahn Dhan and Ubhaya.
Yeah.
Then we can say we are not tough, we are, because of the bad karma, we are suffering, but still the experience.
Yeah, but only if you're free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, bodily free or.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, or at least free of the body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anagami, you know, if he's an anagami, he's free of the body. He
doesn't
have.
For the sort of one, I know the physical suffering is there.
I mean, physical suffering is even there for the arahant.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't take it personally.
Like if someone living in a samadhi, like Runtama, who are living 5 years.
Yeah, but he still, you know, I mean, he showed us one time he was bitten by a centipede, yeah? He cried out and everybody came running to his kutti, you know, what is wrong, what is wrong? Oh, look, 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 you know. Yeah. He wanted to show us, you know, that even an arahant, you know, has physical pain.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, the Lord Buddha, you know, he had to suffer, you know, because of his bad karma.
Because I remember in Sutta, he had back problem in the backbone and he lied down and giving the talks to Sariputta.
Yeah. So, I mean, you will suffer, yeah, unless, you know, you become, you know, you get rid of the body, you know, and become an arahant, yeah. Because you don't like, that is what is suffering. You don't like this.
Yes.
Yeah, and that is suffering. Yeah. I mean, pain is pain, you know, it's not pleasant. Yeah. But, you know, it's there. Yeah.
I remember, but I don't do it every time. But I remember the moment of some experience, like sometimes very heat, or sometimes very restless of the mind, and because of the mosquitoes or some pain. And then just sometimes you give up and you surrender and there's no pain or nothing, suffering in the moment.
You don't surrender, you just don't care.
In the moment
you don't care, you know, I mean it is, yeah. You concentrate. I mean, that's what a lot of people do, you know. I mean, in the world even they do it, you know. They see something bad and they look the other way and they see something good, so it doesn't bother them, you know. So when the moment we go into samadhi, the things outside, you know, don't really bother us.
This is, I also, my Siddhanta teacher also told, like, there was one man came to monastery and he slept, all the mosquitoes were biting him and he didn't care. But my teacher told, sir, there are two things you can totally give up, like pain, some beggars live in the road and they don't care about the heat or anything.
Yeah.
It is like a carelessness. You don't see the pain because you get used to it or you forget about it.
Yeah, but you do. I mean, the Lord Buddha never taught us to be stupid.
Yeah, this is. But
yeah.
You have to
balance, you know. Yeah. Some pain, you know. But to let you eat yourself up by mosquitoes, I mean, you get all sorts of infections.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to suffer because of your carelessness. Yeah? Or you say, it doesn't matter, you know. But, you know, then the body takes, you know, the toll.
Yeah, I understood that in the next life you will have a bad body or something like that.
That can also be.
Your body.
Yeah. I mean, for people who overeat themselves, you know, I mean, they will have extreme problems with their body in the next life. Yeah, because they didn't take care of it. Yeah? So, I mean, we should take care of the body, but not overly be concerned about the body. That is the middle way. Majjhima Patipatthana. Okay?
Thank you.